second chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. While you're getting settled, we want to welcome each of you here. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never been baptized into Christ, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ while we're standing and singing, if you'd make your way to the front, we'd be glad to pray with and for you. In the book of Matthew, in the second chapter, begin reading with me at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. When you read the Bible, the divine revelation, you'll find that throughout the life of Jesus on earth, you will find men hounded him constantly. One will observe that on different occasions, Jesus had to make what you might call a dramatic escape. It will read in the Galatian letter and the fourth chapter in verse 4 that he came at the right time, at the fullness of times, to redeem man. And thus his death was at the fullness of times, and his death would be that of a cross. So when man tried to hasten the plan of God, Jesus escaped from their presence. And I want to notice several escapes of Jesus, and then take note of some things Jesus did not escape from, and the lesson will be yours. Notice first, back in Matthew chapter 2, that Jesus escaped Herod's plot at birth. You remember that the Bible said, where we just read a moment ago, that in verse 14, that when he arose, that Joseph took the child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt. This was because he was warned in verse 13 by an angel to flee. And I want you to think about, by divine guidance, the Bible says Joseph was told to take Jesus to Egypt till Herod's death. And here was a man identified as Herod, who was a grown man, full of power, and yet he became envious of a baby because he feared he would take his throne. And he was so frightened that someone might take his position, that may take his power, that he ordered the death of all male babies 2 years and younger. Can you imagine that massacre? When the soldiers would come in and just kill the infant, kill the toddler. Anyone 2 years of age and younger that was a male was put to death, and yet the baby Jesus escaped the cruel hand of this wicked man. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark and the second chapter. And I want you to think about something else Jesus had to escape, and that was the pressure of the crowd. In Mark chapter 2, you'll find that on this occasion, Jesus is dealing with the crowds. And when Jesus deals with all the crowds, you could see how he would become weary. How often Jesus must have arose early and went out to pray with his Father. And yet we find several times in Scripture where Jesus took a break from the crowds, that the pressure of his ministry was too much. Look again in the book of Mark and the sixth chapter, and look at what Mark says in verse 31. In verse 31 he said, Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Notice Jesus said, we have to take care of ourselves at this time. We have to take care of the body. Though he was divine, he was also human. And Jesus said, with all the great demands upon him, we need to escape for some time alone with God. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke and the fourth chapter. And I want you to observe with me in the Gospel of Luke and the fourth chapter that Jesus escaped the death from his hometown. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 28. In verse 28, it said, So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, what things? The things Jesus taught, that he had fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that he was the Messiah. They were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow on the hill of which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Here in the town that he was raised, here in the town where he knew the people, notice they were filled with wrath and they wanted to kill him. For he told them that he was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the Son of God. And can you imagine the rage of the people and the feeling in their heart to try to throw a man off a high place to kill him? Yet remember, Jesus knew it was not his time, and he made his escape from their hands. Had they had their way, Jesus never would have went to the cross to be the Lamb. They would have cast him off the cliff. But now then, if you take your Bible, look in the book of John and the 10th chapter. And as we just go through each epistle, we'll see Jesus had to escape, whether it be for his death or even if it be for pressure. But in the book of John and the 10th chapter, notice if you will at verse 31. In verse 31, the Jews took up stones to stone him. But notice there's a little word there in verse 31. Again. Look at that word, again. If you go back to John 8, they had picked up stones to kill him. Here are two different occasions where the people had took up stones that they may kill Jesus. They'd become enraged with Jesus. They'd become angry with Jesus. And this time, they were going to kill him, and the reason is because he made himself equal with God. Notice in verse 33, the Jews saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." But that's exactly who he was, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Yet again, my friend, here they wanted to kill him, and it was not his time. And notice that Jesus escaped from their hand. Look at verse 39. "Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand." But I want you to look at another thing. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 20th chapter, you'll find where some came to the tomb. Jesus had been killed on the cross. He did not escape the cross. He died on the cross. But notice, my friend, he escaped the tomb. Now, he literally died on the cruel cross of Calvary. He didn't go into some swoon theory. He didn't escape the cross. He died, but notice he escaped the tomb. Remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter stood up and preached, he said, "Look at David's tomb. It's still here and the body's still here. But Jesus, the body has been taken away." Well, who took it away? God did. God raised it from the dead. So no man took his body, but my friend, God raised him up. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. And then we read in Acts 1 where he ascended back to heaven and he's now at the right hand of God. But that brings up a second thought in our study. Have you ever thought of the things which he could not escape? There were some things that Jesus had to face that were the Father's will. First, if you look in the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter, you'll find he could not escape his mission. His mission was to come to seek and to save the lost. And my friend, he knew that he came to die for the sins of man, to redeem man, as we talked about this morning. Secondly, Jesus could not escape temptation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4 that he was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we see Satan tempting him, and this continued through his life. So Jesus could not escape temptation. He escaped sin. He did not give in to temptation, but he could not escape being tempted. Third, Jesus could not escape grief. Have you ever thought, my friend, we see Jesus weeping several times? We see Jesus shedding tears over the city of Jerusalem, knowing what's going to happen to that great city. We see Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. And here we find Jesus weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'll tell you, my friend, the Son of the living God, the human side, could not escape grief. But the fourth thing Jesus could not escape was the cross. He could not escape the cruel cross and still save man from sin. He could not appease the righteousness and justice of God without being and taking man's place and dying for man. He could not save himself and save others as they mocked from the cross. So he chose us. He made the decision. Now I want to take that. I want to make three or four lessons for us and the lessons yours. The first thing I want us to think about is, do you see the importance of one life? When you go back and you think about Mary and Joseph leaving and going into Egypt, could you imagine if Mary did not appreciate life? And I wanted you to think about what David said in the 139th Psalm. In the 139th Psalm, when David was writing, he talked about that wherever he goes, God is there. But then when you drop down, look at what he said in verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. If you have a thought, my friend, even in the womb, David said, God's there. Isn't it amazing today that if somebody has the baby killed in the womb, it's called abortion? But if it's just a few moments after birth, it's murder. It all depends upon the location. I want us to see that God looked at the life of man. And He looked at the life of His Son in the womb of Mary. And life is precious at conception. We need to understand that that is God who is involved in creation. That's God's plan. That's God's work. And so when life begins at conception, then, my friend, that is a life that we need to try to take care of. Secondly, sometimes we need to escape the pressures of life. Life can be so overwhelming. And many times the problems mount, the bills, they pile up. Problems just seem to keep coming. And there's times that you just need to get alone with God. Have you ever just spent time in prayer? Just got alone. Sometimes we are afraid to be alone. But notice Jesus at times would get alone with the Father. In Matthew 14, He sent the disciples on and He went up on a mountain and He prayed. There are times that we need to get alone with God. Escape the pressures of the world and let God know how we feel. Thirdly, we need to understand there are some things we cannot escape. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10 and notice we can't escape temptation. Just like Jesus, we'll be tempted. Notice in verse 13 it says, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We don't have to sin. We can escape sin, but we won't escape temptation. We're all going to be tempted. There are going to be things that tempt us to sin. Temptation's not wrong, but giving in to the temptation is. Secondly, we can't escape our mission. Look in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus was about to leave, what did He tell that we should be doing? In Matthew 28, notice He says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a mission. But I'll tell you a third thing we can't escape. Grief. I had a friend who lost his wife this last week. The day before she died, I had texted him and I told him, I said, I'm praying for you. And he said, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And then she passed away. I had a friend in Texas who I texted. His mother had died. And I said, I'm praying for you. And he said, we feel the prayers. Thank you so much. I'll tell you, there's grief everywhere you turn. And we're all going to experience grief. You can't escape it. You can't find a place on this earth where there's no grief. But I'll tell you something else. We can't escape physical death. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed for man to die and then the judgment. But I'll tell you, my friend, we can escape the second death, which is eternal hell, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Look in your Bible in Hebrews chapter 2 and look at what Jesus did. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 2, look carefully, if you will, at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Because of that, we can escape death. But I'll tell you what, we'll not escape it if we neglect so great a salvation. Look at what he said in Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Escape you will not. We can escape eternal death by coming to God. In 2 Peter 3:9, words that say, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can escape that day by coming to the cross. Jesus did not escape the cross for the sole purpose that we could escape hell. Have you ever thought about what Jesus did not run from to save us from our sin? If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is you'll do so this evening as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.